This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3991, from Monday, the 20th of November, 2023. Today's show is entitled, You Are a Pirate. It is the 100th show of Operator, and is about 26 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is I rant on about what I think about piracy.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with your host, Operator. I'm going to kind of do this from plot, but we're going to be kind of talking about piracy and how that's changed since I've grown up. So, you know, going to have some contrasting things, and there might be some elements of conflict within it, but it should be pretty straightforward around how video games and piracy has changed and how, like, TV and movie and videos piracy has changed as far as I've seen it. So what kind of sparked this was two things, is that kind of piracy is hard now in general, because you have things like content management systems and DRM types of things, and these are all good and people should be, you know, I don't necessarily condone piracy in any way, but I also think that they make it difficult for people to get the content they need. So if I could spend a reasonable amount of money getting the content I need and not have to sign up for 5,000 different streaming services, then I would do that. And there was a very brief point in time, at least with movie and TVs, when we had, you know, we had Amazon and we had, you know, Hulu and we had whatever the other one was. And, you know, you could have had those three and pretty much had most of your bases covered. But even then, you know, it's always been, the deal breaker has always been for me, you know, you get season two and season three. Like, well, I want to start the thing from season one. So allow me to have the content and I will, you know, gladly watch it or whatever. So there's always been that barrier to entry where, you know, I have to look at ads or I have to, you know, constantly be bombarded. Even though I'm paying for something, I'm still being bombarded by ads. And that's just an absolute turnoff. So my son doesn't even know really what ads are or commercials are, because, you know, we have ads skipping all the content that we have, and he has all the video games and stuff on the actual Switch that we have. So we have the rooted Switch. So I'll first start, you know, it started back in the days, right, of copying games. All you had to do was copy the folder, right? And you could pretty much play the game most of the time. Sometimes you'd have to do like a registry hack or whatever, and that was great for LAN games, where we didn't really play that specific game except when we played it multiplayer. So the only other time we would play that game is pretty much multiplayer, and we wouldn't really play it single player because it wasn't really that good, and we never really played it that often. So that's how kind of that started. And then you got to where, you know, they would have copy protection and CD. They changed over time. They had CD-ROMs that had certain CDs where you had to have a certain kind of burner, and then that got more complicated where bypassing the copy protection on CDs, and then the same thing happened with DVDs and decrypting DVDs and backing up your content. So, you know, in that regard, it got a little bit complicated, but now it's, you know, as everything is more online, right, it becomes increasingly difficult to back up your own content that you paid for. So an example of my wife complaining is that, you know, we had some kind of library checkout thing or something, and of course we were in the boonies and tried to play some content she had already downloaded, but it wouldn't let her play it because she wasn't on the internet. So it's, you know, it's a matter of convenience, sure, and whatever, but it's those types of things where you have the content, but you don't really have it. And if you're offline, you can't really do anything about it. So with that, it's like, we've got TV, same kind of thing, over the air content. There was a brief moment in time, I don't remember the provider, but they basically recorded over the air TV and then sold you a tiny little antenna inside of a data center. And it was like, you know, a TiVo, but for over the air TV. And they lasted probably 5 or 6 years, and then they got destroyed by, you know, the networks, because they were operating like a broadcast network, broadcast provider. So they got them on those terms. But you could basically record, like, you know, all of Seinfeld, and have for like $5 a month, you could have all your Seinfeld from any device, anytime, anywhere. And it was like a little PVR where they had, you know, the content for each channel you wanted. So that's becoming, you know, increasingly difficult to pirate content. So, like, for example, on the Switch, right? It's the Switch, you had to have an older version, and to jailbreak it, you had to have an older version, and then from there you had to do a bunch of rigmarole to get it to go. So the in regards to, like, piracy, it's gotten kind of hard and almost extremely annoying at times to be a pirate. And there's easier ways to get content and things like that, but in general, you know, it's getting harder to do that. And if, you know, if there was a way for me to get the content that I want easily and quickly, then I would, without, you know, being bombarded with ads and advertising and spam and all that, I would do that. But there isn't one, and it always frustrates me that when I do sign up for something and I go through the red tape to get the thing, I'm always bombarded with extra ads on top of it. For example, the Fire Stick. You know, I got a Fire Stick. I have Amazon Prime. But every time you idle for more than 2 minutes, it takes you back to the home screen and closes out whatever app you're running, right? So, like, it's annoying in that regard, because you're paying for a thing. You paid for a piece of hardware. And the whole thing is being, you know, monitored, and they're monitoring and capturing your data and selling it and whatever. And then on top of that, you're just constantly being bombarded with ads and things like that. So it's like, okay, I left it on this application, went away for 2 minutes, and then now it goes back to the home screen with a bunch of ads on it. So and it's not even content that you can even get without paying 90% of the time. So, like, you know, I can understand, you know, having some kind of, you know, ads or whatever, but everything in there is just garbage. It's all just, half of it is more just a bunch of junk and spam. So every time I get into something or I pay for a service, I quickly get frustrated with being bombarded with ads, and then I turn back into a pirate. Because with piracy, you don't have to deal with ads. You don't have to deal with, you know, being bombarded with shit that you don't want to see or hear. You know, and that's some of why I'm still, you know, kind of heavy in that space, because it's just less fuss. And if I can spend 2 hours a month messing with my Plex server, then, and not have to worry about ads, then I'll take that 2 hours, and I will spend that 2 hours a month on maintaining the server and making sure it's working and all that stuff. It's you know, some of that is kind of a passion thing, just because I like, you know, messing with computers and getting the content that I want on any device at any time. But, you know, it's some of that's how it's went. So I'll give you another example. Last night I purchased, I don't know what people's thoughts are on these resellers that will buy, you know, there's super shady ones for games, right? And like for activating games or getting video game accounts. There's kind of two worlds. There's three worlds, really. There's paying full price for the game. So, was it Starfield? Starfield is the new Bethesda game everybody's going crazy about. It's like $69 at Microsoft right now. My nephew gave me the free pass for a month or whatever from Microsoft, and I activated it and quickly canceled it, just to make sure I wouldn't be auto-recharged if I forgot. So we started playing the game, whatever. And I've been playing it for maybe 10 hours now, and I've decided that I would like to purchase the game. And, you know, we can argue that, honestly, paying $69 for a game is actually reasonable, considering, you know, some people play these games for 400 hours, right? Do the math. 400 hours, you pay, what, $10 for a movie, right? Even if you paid $5 for a movie, 400 hours at $5 per hour, that's, like, an unfathomable amount of money to pay for a video game. But as far as entertainment to time spent ratio, you know, that's some big numbers. So I don't think we're paying enough for video games, and I can understand that too. But also, same thing, The first game, internet game base that I purchased was like Dragon Age or one of those RPGs. And the first time I paid for it, I installed it. It took forever to download, took forever to install. I finally install it and I walk into the whatever and I start the game and I start playing. And the first thing I do, I get back to my house or get back to my treasure chest or whatever. What is the first thing that happens after I've been playing the game for, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes? Oh, I get bombarded with DLC ads and ads to buy more content when I haven't even played the game, but for like 40 minutes. And it's just this constant bombarding and spamming of content. Like, I guess it's a generation of being, my generation is the generation that was just pop-up hell and having to deal with pop-ups and having to deal with ads and being bombarded with ads all the time. I guess I went hyper the other direction and now that whole market is toxic to me and I just instantly have anger against all of that because, you know, I felt like a lot of that was just annoyances. So I guess that's some of why I have some history with it. But anyways, I go to buy Starfield and I'm like, $69, that's a lot. I don't really have a lot of time to play video games. So half the time I don't ever finish anything. Out of all the games I purchased the past 2 years, I've only finished Cyberpunk. And that was a great game, and I paid full price for it. And, you know, I knew I was going to make myself go through that game. Same for some of the Assassin's Creed games. I will make myself run through those games and beat them. But for a majority of the games, I just don't have the time to do it. And I would like to play the game for longer, right? But at $9 a month, or whatever it is for the Microsoft thing, that's going to add up quick. And if I'm not paying attention, right, things can get out of hand and I'll end up paying, you know, $300 for a game I've only played four times because I just don't have the time anymore. So I opted to go something like G2G. And, you know, content providers and game folks will argue that these services are kind of toxic to the community. Essentially what happens, the first camp is, like I said, you pay for the game full price, whatever. The second camp is, you know, you find a friend that has it and you borrow his account, right? And you play through his account when he's not online, whatever. Kind of the third camp is you buy these reseller accounts, and you purchase, maybe they bought them in bulk or they got a deal on them or they bought them with a different type of money transaction, and that's not particularly great, right? If they're buying them in bulk, maybe they have a discount, or maybe they have an in or some kind of code or whatever. They've gotten codes or keys or accounts for these. They usually buy them at bulk, and then they assign like a bunch of, you know, email addresses to them and randomness. So with that said, you know, it was like $69 for the game. I got it for like 34, I think, and it was a Steam version. So, you know, it's now it's 11 o'clock at night. I've picked out whichever one is not region locked. There's also region locked ones where you can only activate it in a specific region. So like if you buy one that's region locked to say Russia, you have to try to proxy through, try to find like a Tor exit node if they'll not block already all blocked, or just sign up for a free VPN or something and come through somewhere close to Russia. Usually is enough, which I've only done this like twice for two different games. And once you activate it, you can generally play it for a while before you have to tunnel back through for updates or something like that. You get forced, essentially forced to update the server or talk phone home or contact the mothership. And, you know, that's another thing too. It's like, okay, you know, I've bought the game from essentially a reseller that bought stuff in bulk or whatever, and you can argue that that's not great for the community, but that's what people do. People buy, sell. It's a capitalist world. We buy stuff in bulk and we sell it, and how that happens and whatever, it's not any different than even buying anything else in bulk and shipping it over to the States and selling it for, you know, 500% markup, what we do every day all day. So you know, buying that, getting that set up, activated is kind of frustrating. But so I got it set up, got the Steam account logged in, changed the credentials, changed the email, set it to mine, a backup email that I had. And they were saying that you can share it through the family access or whatever. So you do this authorize thing in Steam, and you authorize both sides. You authorize the computer, and then each user you authorize. And then the idea is, if the game is actually able to be shared through the family, whatever, family link, whatever it's called, you can essentially take that game and borrow it from the other user. And as long as they're not logged in and playing it, you can play the game. I don't think maybe this account got flagged for some reason as not being able to be shared. There's a website called like Family, it's like familysteamcheck.com or something, and you can type in the game and it'll tell you if you can share it through the family view deal. So my idea was to, you know, get this other account, share the game, and then just not really ever log into the account much, and just not have to switch accounts back and forth, and just use my main Steam account for whatever. And I know there's terms and services said that you can't do like the geo-locking stuff. So if you buy like an account with a non-US currency, or you buy a region locked, and you go around the region locked stuff, it's against their terms of service, and they can ban your whole entire account or whatever. But in this case, this was a US non-region locked game. But when I got it all set up, I spent like an hour trying to install it and get it set up and do the family thing and watch videos and whatever. When it finally was ready to be shared or whatever, it wouldn't work. It just said like purchase, and there was no other option to purchase it. So I finally gave up and just started the game and went through and got a save file going. I ended up finally getting to the point where I could save the game. And what happened was that the Microsoft way that Microsoft saves the game is not the same way that Steam saves the game. So now I've got a bunch of these random files that don't look anything like the Steam save games. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? So I look online, and I'm actually using CRXNG, which I don't think I've done an episode on. It's CRXNG. It's a local metadata search engine, and I've kind of boycotted Google because Google has gotten kind of toxic and disgusting, and they say that Bing is now better than Google. I don't know how that happened, but so you looked on CRX and got some links for a tool that's called XGP Save Extractor, and it's a GitHub project, and it converts, the Bethesda titles from Microsoft to the plain normal save game files that Steam uses, or any traditional whatever. I don't know what it is about Microsoft, but they have to do everything differently and chop it all up. So luckily somebody developed this tool to convert the save games to the Steam version or the Steam style. So I was able to have backups of my save games from Microsoft, convert them over, and finally load up the game and get it going. But I will have to switch back and forth in between accounts. I don't really play anything on the main account anyways. Every once in a while my son wants to play X-Plane. But that's pretty much it. Or what's the other game? X-Plane and the Kerbal Space. I like to play that. But, you know, when it's all said and done, I've spent an hour and a half trying to play a game or get a discount on a game or whatever and not have to pay full price for a game. Is it worth the time? I don't know. But for me, it's kind of out of spite, too. Just because these platforms, you know, even the launchers to a point are wildly frustrating. You know, everybody has their own launcher. I think they've managed to consolidate some of them, but you know, at one point in time, I had a screenshot up of like five different game launchers being updated at a time. And when you don't play games that often, you go to play your game and it's like, oh, I'm forcing you to update right now. You have to update. I can't not let you play without updating, especially with the online games. They force you to update. And I was like, I'm not even playing this game online. I'm playing a local. I don't want to update right now. I don't have the bandwidth or time to do it. So I basically had it set up where every time the computer started up, all the launchers I had start up too, and have automatic updates all installed on all of them. So every once in a while, I would turn my computer on when I was playing games every now and then. I would turn my computer on, and start up, it would start up all the game engines and game clients, and I would make sure they were all updated and happy. So that way, next time I wanted to play, chances are I wouldn't have to install like every single patch for every single game. And you see that in consoles too, it's the same way. Just being bombarded by ads, you know, every time you go to play a game, this game needs an update. And I mean, I get it, if it's an online game, you got cheaters and stuff. And the thing about cheaters is that, you know, they'll go through a little bit of hoops to block cheaters and stuff, but they obviously don't care as much about cheaters as long as the, you know, people are playing the game. The amount of people playing the game are the number they want. And I don't know how they calculate all that, but at the end of the day, as long as people are playing the game, they're not super angry that there's cheaters everywhere, then they don't really necessarily care. They'd rather do silly stuff like region lock your games and do all these anti-piracy things and spend all their time doing that instead of actually, you know, trying to prevent people from cheating. And I know that's difficult, I know it's hard, but I gave up on video games, competitive video games, or just multiplayer video games in general for that reason, because of the cheating. And there was so much of it. And I gave up the day they came out with multi-pack cheats for a single game. You could, like, download one binary and get cheats for multiple games. I just gave up. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. This is, I don't know who's cheating. I don't know who's playing for real. I play with friends sometimes, but mostly, you know, towards the end, I was kind of playing it by myself. So it wasn't really fun for me anymore, and I just didn't have the time to play as much video games. And when I did, they're so competitive, I couldn't tell if it was just me or, you know, cheaters or all the above. But anyways, all this is to say is that, you know, I guess some of my piracy comes from growing up in the age of just being bombarded with ads, and I'm just being completely bombarded with things all the time. And I struggle with concentration and staying on task, and I have lots of things that I have to do, and I live my life by a calendar, and to be distracted on top of everything that I'm trying to do and supposed to do, it doesn't help. So if I could pay for the content that I wanted and I didn't have to sign up for 15 different, you know, there's like 30 different ones, even in Plex. If you go in Plex and you open up, add a, you know, streaming provider, there's like 30 of them in there. Obviously, there's only probably 10 of them that are decent. But even with the 10, it's more ads. And, you know, they want you to pay for everything, and they want you to always be paying for this and paying for that, and just like throwing stuff in your face. It's all just garbage. Like, these old movies and having to like try to find the content you either want, and they're throwing stuff in your face. It's like not even anything you would want to watch just because they want to, you know, get the viewer ratings up or something. That's still why I'm kind of in that space, is because the whole thing is still toxic, and it's almost even more toxic nowadays. But anyways, it's kind of a rant and kind of a, you know, lesson in how, where I feel like where we're at today is, you know, it's still the bombarding of the ads, the stuff, and having to deal with all that. And the reason I'm in, you know, I still do the piracy thing, is that it allows me to get the content that I want without all of the bullshit. And I would pay double if I could get, you know, the content I want for not having to watch commercials or any of that stuff. I would pay double, but that's not a thing that exists. It's pay us, we will bombard you with ads and try to upsell you and try to sell you more shit and whatever, and then also not give you the content that you want. And it doesn't make any sense to me. We would, like I said, there was a brief point with like Hulu and Netflix and Amazon where you could actually pay for the content that you wanted. And I had Netflix and Amazon. I didn't have Hulu because there was stuff on there that I didn't really want. But between those two, I could pretty much watch everything that I wanted. But even then, there were, you know, limits to that. And you can only get the first season, or you can only get the third season. It's like, okay, well, that's not what I want. So at the end of the day, you know, that's kind of what turned me off of that stuff. And then now, you know, it used to be like piracy. And then it was Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon. And then slowly but surely people started to figure out that they could have their own streaming services, And so the piracy kind of like went down, and with the Netflix and the three combo, you know, streaming services, piracy went down. Friends and family, technical people that I talked to, they're like, oh, I don't do any of the piracy stuff. I just pay for my content. And I was like, wow, it's actually kind of cool. And I started, the more I got into it, the more I realized that it's not what I want still. I'm not still getting what I want. I'm still having to be annoyed by, you know, being sold stuff all the time. So I never switched over. And then more and more and more, it got to where it just got worse and worse and worse. And now everybody has their own streaming thing. And then now everybody's pirating again because, you know, they've made the process so awful and painful and toxic that, you know, people don't even, like my parents can't even get the content they need. They have to call me up and figure out, help them figure out how to get it, what they're trying to watch or whatever. But anyways, that's kind of my rant for today and kind of shooting from the hip. And, you know, it's not easy to be a pirate today, but I still go through the motions to do it. And, you know, when we can't get the content we need, we pay for it and hope that whatever we interface we pay for it through, I can block ads with or block stuff, the content that I don't want to be shoved in my face. So anyways, appreciate it. Y'all have a good one, and good luck.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you can click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.